Yeah, everything, you know, again, everything we do, we're trying to do what's best for the football team. Like what is going to help this football team? And we felt like Ryan was a guy that Bill Kolar had experience with, I believe, in St. Louis. And so we felt like he was a guy that could come in and help us in our base defense. A big guy, a good guy. And so hopefully that'll be true. Well, I would tell you that it did have a lot to do with health, you know. And I have to tell you, you know, he's a guy that we have high hopes for in the future, no doubt about it. You know, he's a guy that we think is a future 3-4 nose for us. But he had a knee issue over the summer that he started off on the PUP for us, and then he has another issue right now. None of them are, you know, like I always say, life threatening, but they're definitely season ending injuries. And so we've decided medically to operate on him, and hopefully he'll come back stronger and ready to go for the off season program.
So he's had another procedure.
He will probably. He will. Yep. I can't. Okay. You know, one of the things about these injuries, I do want to be clear about just my feeling on injuries. You know, one of the reasons why I don't always disclose injuries, number one, is because I think it's personal with the player. And you know, if the player wants to talk about it, I let the player do that. But I don't really want to talk in detail about injuries as far as the player goes. And so that's one of the main reasons why I do that. And then obviously with the competitive advantage and disadvantage and things like that, that's why. So I won't get into all that, but another probably procedure that he has to have done.
How big of a possibility was this in the, you know, in the pre-draft process when you evaluate medical history, but also the upside of his performance and the player, the possibility that he might not be able to contribute in year one? How real a possibility?
Well, I think you talk about all those things, and I think that's probably the case with every rookie you bring in. Really is, because at the end of the day, when they get here and they go through your training methods and they go through training camp or the off-season program and then training camp, you never really know what's going to happen with young players, and so I think that's the case with every guy. So when we drafted Lewis, and we still feel the same way, we felt like this was a guy that had the body type and the ability to be a 3-4 nose for us, and we still feel the same way.
So after a couple of days, is Arian looking better? You know, are you able to get him on the field during practice? How are
you doing? Yeah, he did some things today, and I do mean it. I don't mean to be. I really believe it's day-to-day with him, and that's just the way it is. And so we'll see how he feels in the morning. We'll see what he does tomorrow, then Friday, then Saturday, and then Sunday we'll probably work him out before the game again and see how it is. But with him, that's basically the way it'll be here for at least this week. Yeah, I appreciate you asking that question. I don't think we talk enough about Chris Myers. He is a true professional. I mean, this guy, from the day we arrived here, has been fantastic for this organization and this coaching staff. He comes in early. He works extremely hard. He's a leader. He stays after practice. He's out there right now. I think he's still out there doing center quarterback exchange with Fitz and Ryan Mallett. You know, this guy's a pro's pro, and you know, he's one of those guys too. Like, I've coached a lot of these guys who, you know, they're not just football players. Like this guy, when he's done playing football, which who knows when that'll be, he'll have a very successful career in business or whatever he decides to do next. This guy's a top-notch person.
Speaking of milestones, if Andre gets 7 catches, he ties Marvin Harrison for the fastest in the history of the 9. During the game, I know you got to think about winning, but does that ever cross your mind, calling the plays and you got to have a chance?
Yeah, it does, John. It does. I mean, there's no doubt when you have a guy like that who's meant so much to this organization. Now, of course, at the end of the day, you're doing what you got to do to win the game. But if he can get catches that help him set records, look, we're not all about records, but I just feel strongly about this guy, Andre Johnson, and what he means to our organization and what he means to this football team this year. So, you know, number one is – He's a big part of every game plan anyway in the passing game, and so hopefully he's able to get that amount of catches to be able to get that record. But we certainly, if we're in the fourth quarter and he's got 6 catches, you know, we'd certainly like to get him a catch, that's for sure.
Bill, Beckmeyer's offensive line is always underrated in the NFL. We don't talk about it enough, but center specifically, does that position just get more and more important almost every year with all the passing changes and the defenses and complexity?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Brian. I mean, there's so many different looks that they have to see on a down-to-down basis. You know, you go from even to odd to diamond, which is center covered and both guards covered, to overload pressure, to double edge pressure, to three up the middle pressure. I mean, there's so many things that the center has to control with his call based on what the protection call or what the run call is. And so when you have a guy that's a really bright guy that really understands those things in conjunction with the quarterback, you know, that's a good combination. And so Chris is a guy that's a very bright guy. And right from day one, like I said, he picked up on our system. He worked hard at it, and he's getting better and better with it every week.
Do you know anything more about Shane
Leather? I would put that in the same category as Arian Foster. I would say that would definitely be something that's day-to-day and that we would probably work him out the morning of the game.
I know you bring Boswell on to practice.
Right.
Would he be the option?
We have a few options, Dave, but he's definitely one of them.
How late could you wait? You have to
bump him up. Yeah, you know, I don't really know the answer to that. I would probably say I don't know the answer to that. I would say it's either Friday after practice or Saturday morning.
Would you work Arian out before the game as well?
Yes.
Same thing?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, unless we see, like, in practice that he's, you know, really being able to take more than a certain amount of reps on Thursday and Friday, we'd probably, let him go out there on Sunday morning and do some things. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. I do know that he can be one. I really believe in this kid. I think that he's big. He's smart. He's a really, from day one, he's a guy that really picked up on things. He hit a little wall in training camp. Like I said last week, he climbed over it. I thought he ran the ball hard against the Giants, you know, and had a couple good runs. You know, he had the 144-yard run, which was most of his yards. A lot of his yards were very tough to come by. But I think he's got a chance to be a really good back in this league.
Bill, just kind of curious about this. In terms of the play calling and working with Godsey, how are you guys working on it? I mean, is it basically everything comes through you and the inputs through Godsey? I mean, how's that working?
Yeah, I have final say on every play call on all three phases. So, and then, you know, it's a collaborative effort that has been very efficient in getting the play in to either the middle linebacker or the quarterback or the special teams captain for each unit. But as the head coach, I have the final say on all that. Yeah, on offense, you mean? Yeah, Charles London's up there and Timmy Kelly. So those guys are up there, and they do a good job. You know, they do. And then, you know, we have the tablets. I use the pictures because I can write on them. But the other guys use the tablets. I just don't feel like carrying a tablet like a backpack over my shoulder. I don't know. It just would be a hindrance to some of my body language during the game. So the pictures help. And then defensively upstairs, basically what we have is Anthony Midget and Will Long. And they're watching the stuff for Romeo and myself. And I'm able to click over. I have two channels on my headset, plus an ability to talk to the quarterback. So I got a lot of moving parts on my headset.
You want to have George be able to talk to the
quarterback. And then Jimmy Bernhardt's up there too. Jimmy Bernhardt's up in the press box too.
And George, you want him to be able to communicate?
Yeah, he usually relays the play to the quarterback. That's how it works on game day.
Can you talk a little bit about Bill's offensive
play? Yeah, they have a lot of strengths. Start with the quarterback. He's playing better and better. He's an accurate passer. He's a good athlete back there. They have two really top-notch running backs in Spiller and Jackson. Different type of running back. Spiller's a very, very fast guy, a very dangerous guy. Had a 102-yard kickoff return against Miami for a touchdown. Jackson's been a back there for a long time. And those of us that were in New England are very familiar with Fred. He's a really good running back. Got a good offensive line. They're athletic. They're tough. They're big. Got a good tight end, and Scott Chandler does a good job. And then they have, you know, obviously a strong receiving core with their number one pick, Watkins. you know, they just They're good. They're a good football team, and it's a big challenge for us.
With their defense,
last one's got
with their defense and the wide nine thing on, it's different.
What do you call it?
The wide nine.
The wide nine. Okay, yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, I mean that's a good way to call it.
Okay.
What are you referring to in the wide nine? The ends?
Yeah, I guess the defensive ends.
Okay.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Yep.
When I said it to Fizz, he. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, he probably definitely agreed with you.
Right.
All right.
But what? I mean, just that alignment and it being different.
Yeah.
What types of challenges and maybe opportunities does that present?
It does present challenges. It certainly does. You have two guys like you said that are. Usually aligned wide, and they're both good players. Mario Williams, who everybody here is very familiar with, and Jerry Hughes, who people here are familiar with too because he played at TCU. But very athletic guys, two different type of players, but they're hard to handle, and you better do a good job of knowing where they are on every play. And then they have an inside tackle, two of them, but Kyle Williams is probably one of the best inside 4-3 tackles in the league. Number 95. He's a great player. So that's a big challenge for us is our offensive line, our tight ends, our backs against their defensive front.
Thank you.
Yep.